Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for April 29th. A wonderful Wednesday to everyone out there in Radio Land. This is Sanka Price along with Michelle Brathwaite, and we'll be with you until 2 p.m. Of course, you can reach us at 434-1790 as on WhatsApp. It's 266-4862. Cashy, have a great day. Thank you for bringing us here so far. It was such lovely music this morning. The first thing we want to do is to go over to Mr. Carl Alf Podmore. He's at the Sanitation Service Authority. Remember, this morning, we're going to specially salute the workers of the Sanitation Service Authority for the hard work they're doing. Mr. Podmore, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, I am here. Good morning to you. How are you doing? I'm in the yard.
Uh-huh.
At present, we are getting ready for the 10:15 applause. Uh-huh. The 10:15 applause. I'm here walking, approaching Minister as well, Minister Trevor Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, go ahead.
So this is a very important day for us, because what we are actually doing is celebrating them. They are essential workers. They are our heroes. And like I said, I'm here with Honorable Trevor Prescott. And he came up because, as Minister responsible for the environment and national beautification, he wanted to be part of this minute, this moment, to celebrate with his workers. When you think of keeping the environment clean, when you think of health, you cannot dismiss the SSE at all. We have been on the front line. Before COVID, we wrapped up more time and energy during COVID, and we intend to help and fight and keep Barbados safe throughout the COVID time.
Would Mr. Prescott want to say a few words?
Yeah, he's hearing me all. Just Sanka Price, sir.
Hi, Sanka.
Good morning, Mr. Prescott. You're live on the Brass Tacks program, and we know that you're there at the Sanitation Service Authority, and could you just tell us how you're feeling today about this salute to the Sanitation Service Authority workers?
Well, let me say, this is long overdue. Not only for me, as a Minister of the Environment, special responsibilities as well, excuse me, for the Sanitation Department. But in general, I felt that the voices were not as loud in the society as they ought to, ensuring that appreciation for the importance of the work that the Sanitation Department was carrying out. So when the Public Relations Officer got in contact with me, we agreed that we'll have this symbolic representation of our gratitude for the work that they're doing. Now, my view is that there's no society under the sun, no community that do not dispose waste on almost a daily basis, right? And so you cannot function in any sovereignty without the sanitation workers playing a very important role, especially in relation to not just the environment itself, but by extension, the health of the entire nation that they represent. As frontline workers, I also felt that there was a paucity in the manner in which people recognize the importance of sanitation workers. The voices that I was hearing was a little feeble. I felt as Minister, I had to work along with my public relations team and the management of the Sanitation Department to at least express the general feeling of most people across Barbados for the work that they're doing. And you know that probably if the sanitation workers were not functioning as efficiently as they do, probably the challenges of the diseases in the country would be a lot more complex, because just imagine if there was any negligence or any indifference on the behalf of the sanitation workers and any other disease coming on stream parallel with what we are experiencing at present, would have made it made it more complex for the medical authorities. We also recognize that we there are other things we in a society like this, we sanitation still has to keep the surroundings very clean, and we have problems sometimes with rodents. We have other problems. These people, they have to come out on mornings, go behind a truck. Then obviously the order from the truck are not that pleasant sometimes. But these fellas show great courage in doing that on a daily basis, having to lift heavy metal drums on a daily basis. Two men standing on the back of a truck, sometimes going through the hot sun for an entire day. And very few people can appreciate the kind of sacrifice that men and women make, right, for the protection of the entire society itself. They actually have to pick up waste sometimes that even the people who are disposed of it don't want to touch it themselves. So you have not just municipal waste, you have medical waste, you have all types of hazardous materials. And these men are out there on the front line working. So I cannot be the kind of minister to show any indifference to the general concerns of many people who might be voiceless. I know lots of people recognize the work that they're doing. They have families. I want to know that this minister and the government of Barbados is appreciative of the work that they're doing. So this is symbolic of saying thank you to them. And we continue to work together. Very cooperative. They're very committed. And as I said, they're very courageous in what they're doing.
Mr. Prescott, thank you very much. And very, very quickly, what would you like to tell Barbadians right now in terms of how they're disposing of their waste, in terms of paying the GSC? Do you have any message for Barbadians garbage disposal in Barbados?
In relation? No, I think that we cannot function as effective, and we cannot sustain the staff unless there's some form of revenue. But we are also realistic. It's a challenging period. Lots of people are out of work. Lots of people are not paying their water bills. But for those who can afford to pay the water bills, we're asking them to do so, because they're actually contributing to the general society itself. The problem which we have is that a large percentage of the revenue that comes in to the Barbados Water Authority, which is transferred to the sanitation department to cover all operational expenses here at the sanitation department. With the hotel industry out at present, it is unlikely that we'll be able to come close to even 50% of the required revenue to be able to offset the expenditure at the sanitation department. But the government is working and finding innovative ways. In some cases, we might have to go back to some traditional approaches to how to resolve these issues. But I ask the general public to do what they can in present circumstances, and make sure we contribute as much as we can in order to make sure that these services remain as efficient as they are.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Prescott. And I know that in another 6 minutes or so, you all will be saluting the workers of the Sanitation Service Authority. And I'd like to encourage all Barbadians to salute the crew today. So thank you very much for your time. Have a great day. Thank you. Brass Tacks. Sankey Price here with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. 4341790 is the number to call. And you can WhatsApp us at 266-4862. We were just listening to Mr. Trevor Prescott, the Minister of the Environment and National Beautification. And he is at the Sanitation Service Authority headquarters in Wildey, where they are awaiting the first crew to come in at the 10:15 so they can salute them. And I would suggest you can salute a crew wherever you see them today. One of the things I like to talk about today is, should we lift the curfew? or rather, should we lift certain restrictions on the curfew? And should we start people, we should start some businesses working again? You know, people are out there hurting who have been laid off for a while. And some people love to get back out to work. But of course, we have to do that in the context of the new normal. That is, you need to wear face masks. You need to be have that 6 feet physical distancing between yourself and someone else. And most of all, you need to be sanitizing your hands as well on a regular basis. When I was coming down here this morning, what shocked me were the number of people on the road walking around without a face mask. And they were just having conversations with others and nobody was wearing a mask. Now, the face mask is not a foolproof device. But if you wear a mask and I wear a mask, there's less likelihood of any droplets flying between me and you. So that if I am infected, there's a less likelihood that I can infect you. So it makes sense to wear a face mask when you're out in public. And if there's one thing I would like to see, if the restrictions are lifted somewhat and some of the businesses are allowed to open, is that face masks become mandatory in public. As soon as you put your toe outside your door, you should have on that face mask. That's just my view. And but based on my reading, where it has been implemented, it seems to be helping. And let's face facts, we are not going to get out of this COVID crisis in a short while. This is going to be with us for at least another year, for a full year. And we were talking here now about how it's going to impact our economy, our tourism, because at the end of the day, no matter what we do here, we're still relying on business, the tourism business from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Europe, primarily, and also, of course, in the region. So we have, and that's, so they have got to get their act together up wherever they are. And we have got to put protocols in place to deal with that. So this situation is going to go on for quite a while, and we have got to adjust to it if we want to survive. Anyway, I guess I get a chance to discuss that even more with some of you. We'll go to our first call. You are on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Sankar.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. You?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, well, you said you want to engage a bit on this curfew. So this is not the primary reason why you called, but just to pick up with you on that. Are you one of the people who support on May 3rd an extension of the curfew, or are you satisfied to lift the curfew and maintain the alphabetical system in terms of shopping and such like?
We need to maintain the curfew, that is for sure. And you need to maintain it because you really don't want people congregating, especially after hours, after 6, 7. You don't want people congregating because the disease is still here with us. It's not gone anywhere. So you need to maintain the curfew.
Right,
I am in favor of the lifting of restrictions in terms of shopping. Make it easier for people to move around. You see, the thing about it is, and I'm talking like the retail businesses, like the stores in Bridgetown. You can give the vendors a chance who also sell clothing and other things as well. Because you have a situation where the supermarkets have implemented a system that seems to be working. And in terms of the physical distancing, in terms of making sure X amount of numbers come in and you don't have that crowding, in terms of what they've done internally with outfitting their workers with protective gear. So the supermarkets have done that. we now need to get the stores to also do that, because this curfew cannot go on forever. We have to save lives, but we have to look at livelihoods as well. And I strongly believe that that is where we should be going from May 3rd.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's fair. My view, because that's yours, my view is on May 3rd, I would like also to have the curfew lifted. I would like the alphabetical system of the supermarkets to be maintained. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is the gap between 11 and 1 be eliminated.
I agree with you.
Open, let's say, from their opening hours now, let them run until 4, and just eliminate that gap in between there.
True.
In terms of places that you said, like the shopping malls and the stores in Bridgetown, I'm in favor of opening back. In terms of alcohol sales, I think alcohol invariably just create laymen in a lot of cases. And that's social gathering, which you are obviously against, and myself. Places like Chiffette and stuff, I would like the drive-thrus to open back up, give those businesses an opportunity, but at the same time, limit the amount of people that can come in. Let them come in and sit, but no more, let's say, than 25, or whatever the number deemed reasonable could be, because I feel like, well, as you said, get your airlines and stuff, you'll need to get themselves in order, and the international countries will need to get themselves together before we start to engage with them again. We can still make some effort in the domestic economy and help government to lift some of the burden in terms of unemployment claims and stuff at this point.
Agreed.
But that's my thought. But my more substantive issue now.
But before you go into your substantive issue, and I'll give you time for that, the whole thing about the restaurants as well as the stores, I think they need a little leeway, because they have basically been shut down from the beginning of the curfew. So I think they need at least a day or two to sort of get their house in order internally in terms of protective gear for their workers and, you know, working that sort of thing out before they actually open in that phase way. But yeah, basically, we agree on it. And the construction projects, we need to get, and that's going to be a tricky one because of the close proximity some guys have to work. But again, that is where I think face masks must be mandatory in public. I really feel that that should be
construction. Gloves might be a little more prohibitive because certain little technical things they could need to go on site. But the mask and naturally wear helmet on construction sites, then let the mask be compulsory as well. So by in favor of construction sites being opening back for obvious reasons, for the domestic movement of merchandise and goods and services. Yeah. Be that as it may, I don't know what your personal circumstances, but mine is that I have a daughter who is due to set the common entrance on June 3rd. Now, while the Minister of the Environment just made his case, and rightfully so, for the workers in sanitation to be saluted, which I fully endorse, I would like to also be in a position to endorse the Ministry of Education, and I'm watching as a parent to see how they navigate this period for this current group of kids across the country, because they're going to want to localize this to me personally, across the country in terms of the common entrance. Now, very often you call this program, moderators put you in a position, and rightfully so, that if you knock something or you raise an issue, do you have a solution or idea? So this is my thought on the matter. Now, I'm watching the ministry still they navigate this period, because they've already pushed it back, and again, rightfully so. What I do not want to see happen, in the interest of time, I don't want a circumstance to befall the current group of kids that have to take a common entrance, to be that they didn't get the opportunity to write the examination. Now, I must say, there's no suggestion by government at this point that will not happen. However, let's say we have an acceleration let me backtrack from that. Let me stay on point here. Now, what I am saying is that the government has said that they will move away from the common entrance exam. That did not happen last year. The government would be in power, in office rather, 2 years next month. And they're still not put a position to the country of what the new position will be in terms of students and that age group. So right now, as it is, we're maintaining the status quo in terms of the common entrance. And I'm comfortable with that at this point in time. I'm not comfortable with it over the long run. But given that this is where we are, I would love to see a situation where the government, well, I would rather not see a situation where these kids are not allowed to write the exam for whatever reason. I want them to write the exam, and I'll give you a personal position here. My daughter is a better student today than she was on the first day of the first term of this last school year at her primary school. In the interest of full disclosure, her primary school is Blackman and Gallup, and that school, as you know, had to be bought into the COVID-19 management. So that was a dislocation, and that now creates some anxiety among parents and students, as you would imagine. But what I would not want to see is that people like herself and many others across the country outside of Blackman and Gallup now don't get the opportunity. I want my daughter to write this exam on June 3rd and let the chips fall where they may, because she has been working, like many other kids across the country, would have been working towards this, putting in the effort during this period. I accept that some of them don't have the facilities like others do, but to cut this a bit short and give it to someone else, I just watching to see how the ministry, we're going to be a month away from it in short order, because May 3rd is coming soon, and that's a month away from June 3rd. And I've not heard the acting prime minister as the minister responsible for education, or no one from that ministry put a position forward. We just know it's June 3rd. We're going to know what the administration of the exam would be. And my suggestion would be, on that day, even if you have to use 3 days of that week to keep your social distancing, let the class four students come in and use, let's say, the class twos, the class threes, and the class four classrooms to administer the exam across the country. Still have a lot of students going to one secondary school. Let them go back to their primary school, set the exam. Yes, the ministry may need to bring in additional staff just to manage, you know, the movement of students and collecting of papers. But that is my view, just to get us over the line, and then next year, if there's a new format for that in terms of becoming entrance and playing. But at this point in time, I do not want none of these kids to be, you know, be told, well, you're going to be placed at secondary school based on how you performed, let's say, last year, because a lot of these children have came on leaps and bounds within that year, and I would like them to be given the opportunity to prove their worth and let the chips fall where they may. You've been kind, thank
you. Thank you very much. What you're discussing is something that I think a large number of people want to talk about. Education really and truly is one of the major issues in this country. There's a lot of concern out there about what is happening with not only the 11 plus, but you also have a situation where parents are very, very concerned about the e-learning, online education, and what is happening with that. I've done a couple of articles so far on the private school situation, but a number of parents have been writing me and telling me about their concerns in the public school setting. And Corey had a teacher on Sunday who explained the situation as well. So, you know, we have that. It's a major issue, quite frankly. And from what I'm hearing, it's going to be addressed very, very shortly. So I'm looking out for that. Let's go to another call. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Sankar Price.
Hello, good morning. How are you today?
Well, are you in the studio today? Hello?
How are you doing today? Sorry, Vinny, I'm getting a little problem here with my speakers and my earphones.
Are you in the studio today? Could you repeat? Hello? Hello?
Go right ahead, Vinny.
No, never mind. Something is going on in the studio there. Mr. Price? I'm going to talk about three things very quickly. First, the monkeys. These human people that they say animals must be killed. Mr. Price, I've got banana, right? I can't do nothing, nothing in my garden. I've got some banana, and they're coming up. Do you know the monkeys went and pulled down the banana trees? Huh? People are talking, we cannot grow nothing around here. I know the farmers are suffering from the two-foot monkey and the other monkeys, right? But it's not right when you can't be, these monkeys got to be controlled. It really makes me cry this morning when I stick up the bananas to keep them there, hoping that they wouldn't, and they pull away the stick and pull down the bananas. If I did catch them too.
Don't say that. That's cruel and really inhuman treatment.
Mr. Price, listen to me. When you out there parking, your back hurting you, you put things in the ground and they come and pull up everything. I try to cover them over with some net. And they pull off the net and, you know, and they're so done. It really is bad with these monkeys around here. Everyone around here can tell you. Sometimes you see 20 and 30 of them. And they're going around, and they, when they're done, they go on top of your patio, and they do their number two. They do everything around your yard. It's not right. I have a Jamaican aki tree, and my akis was coming out. And they break down part of the aki tree. I never know monkey eat Jamaican aki. I thought they, you know, they wait, you know, they eat it now. There is nothing you can keep on your trees. Nothing with these Mr. Price, I am so mad.
I can hear that level of frustration in your voice. Actually, desperation, quite frankly. But
are those animal rights lovers going to come and give me back my bananas? Hell no, they don't have the monkeys at them. I hear Peter said he will not plant no fruit trees because he don't want to attract them. I can understand it, but I like to plant. I don't like flowers. I don't want no flowers around me. I like things I can eat. I can give my neighbors, and my neighbors can give me. We are scared now. We cannot plant nothing. You can't even put a thyme in the ground. You cannot plant, not even. Oh, they're horrible. They're horrible. They need doing away with.
No, but you can't do away with monkeys just like that. I mean, the solution that I heard
yeah.
from Wayne Norville, he said it yesterday, but I mean, for the last two decades or so, Wayne Norville has been suggesting that we plant fruit trees in the gullies. He has made that suggestion. I could remember the first time I heard him with it is at least 20 years ago or so.
But when you have it in there, when you don't have no fruit trees in there growing, bearing anything, they're still going to come and look for fruit trees.
But they're out there in the communities now because, quite frankly, we have moved into their community. We have destroyed their habitat,
and they
still exist. And they're look. Where I live, okay, where I live, just give me a second, Winnie. Where I live is a totally built-up area. It's been built up from the 50s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I get monkeys traveling across my roof. I see them in the trees. Right next, the property right next to me has three mango trees. And I sit in my bedroom and I watched the monkeys picking the green mangoes, biting them and dropping them on the ground. And I mean a whole set of them, multiple of them. And it's infuriating. But the thing about it is that we, as I said, this is a built up area. It's been built up from the 50s. Yet there's so many monkeys around there. At my parents' house, further across, same thing. They attack everything. But at the same time, we have invaded their habitat. We need now to provide for them. That is what we really need to do. Bradstack, thank you, Price, with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. And Winnie, if I cut you just now, I do apologize, but I was having a little technical difficulty here, and I think we've got it solved. So, here we go. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good Good morning.
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
I've been hearing about these monkeys and stuff the last couple of days, right? I think Barbados should start exporting monkeys. I think that meat would do a good turn for some people. You don't think so?
Have you eaten monkey meat before, sir?
I never eaten it, but you heard people that into wild meats and stuff, so I guess they gotta got some market somewhere for them.
I guess that's a possible solution, but I don't know. I never even thought about it in terms of monkey.
That's the solution, because there are so many monkeys in Barbados. No one think that. I mean, in town, country, all over the place, and the bushes and more, like years ago.
Yeah.
So I think that they could start exporting, man.
Mm-hmm.
Or they got some for local use.
There may be a market for that there too.
Yeah.
I would like to hear some other views on how we can deal with this monkey situation. But
right now things tight, and monkeys will come handy, man. You never know that. Maybe you want to go down off of me, and we don't even know.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Is that the only thing that's on your mind today?
Yeah.
What about lifting some restrictions? And allowing stores, allowing construction sites, even the restaurants to do curbside sales. What are your views on that?
I think restrictions should start and lift and just demand that it really mass. And I think that would be a good idea. Because
mm-hmm.
right now, people got to get back out there.
Mm-hmm. So what's it like for you? I mean, being at home, are you self-employed? Are you work? Otherwise,
yeah, I'm a farmer, but I did some saving, so I've been around long. So you know, around long, I use the thing wisely, get out. So I just hoping that things turn back now, but I can survive for a couple of months.
I see, it was good for you. But you know, as a farmer, one of the things that people are complaining about now is that the prices have increased from farmers. Why is that?
Yeah, right now, there's a drought on my and the island, so many people gotta use water. They're gonna push up the price. That's normal. That's normal. That's thing every year.
Mm.
But with the imported stuff, we don't know. That's the main part that some people don't care, the edibles and stuff, the high price that coming in from overseas. But you don't know how they are paying. You don't know. But you can't get potatoes locally, you know, like before. You can't get yams, Christophine's going off. So that's how the price get up in the air.
Yeah, but I'm sure I heard Mr. James Paul saying that there are enough sweet potatoes here. But, you know, you as a farmer, you're saying that they're going off.
That's what James Paul said, man. Look, if I might open a tree of potatoes this morning, right? So before they open a tree of potatoes today, you know, by 10 o'clock, all sell out. All in sell. So I don't know how you arrive at that.
I see. So as a farmer, you're saying that you understand the reason for the importation then of the sweet potatoes from St. Vincent?
Yeah, if it's really important, you can't ask for it, man. Barbados, we've got sufficient fields to supply our own. Years ago, when they had all the estates like Tarzan and Pool and Bournemouth and them planting up, you could have do that. But no, how many people grow up in the others? I don't even know.
Mm.
I could call myself three places, and then maybe some small farmers that have potatoes, and then back to the monkeys. No, we know they're gonna eat some.
Well, let me ask one last question. In terms of those estates in St. John, those former Clicquot estates, you know, like Todd's and I think Wakefield?
Yeah, I see Wakefield.
And a few others. What do you think should be done with them?
There's something like it happened already, because I see most of Wakefield runs plow now. And then when I check the newspaper, I see some company called Wakefield. No, Todd's estate. Mm-hmm. They don't know who that belongs to. They're taking it over. So I guess that something happening soon.
Okay.
Got all the fields that we feel plow up. They don't know if they're going to come over the pool. But something is happening somewhere along the line.
All right.
So things will work out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the chat. And stay safe and wear your mask in public. Huh? We go to the next call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Sanka.
How are you today?
Sanka, I always believe, right, that nobody should not have a monkey as a friend or a monkey as a pet. A monkey is a very dangerous animal. And I could give you, you may laugh when I tell you that. I used to go in a place they call Florida St. John, that is in Grenada. So we used to go upon this place like a mountain and get white yam. It's nice white yam. And that morning, we left to go up upon there to get this yam. I got a bag full, nice yam. My adopted father got a bag full, and we coming down. He left in front of me. And Franca, when I get to the almost to the bottom of this hill, this which is like a mountain, like, there's four monkeys behind me running me down. I have to pull the yam down in the gully and run down. I had a Collins in my hand. And I could not have get away from that monkey. The monkey will run me until I get off of that mountain. Sanka. So I always believe, and you know the things that monkey does do to Sanka. A monkey is just like a woman. They has the menstruation. They does all that. Like a lady. I always believe that monkey is part of a human being. So nobody wouldn't want to eat monkey. They'd be eating human beings as cannibals. So I would encourage people to keep monkeys. I really would like to see they get rid of the monkeys. I don't know how. I don't know how to tell them to get rid of those monkeys. But years ago, they used to have shooting of monkeys in Barbados. But they stop. They stop it. But I would not like to keep monkeys as a human at all. I plant some corn, Sanka. And I thought people were stealing the corn. So I started to get like, I say, well, what if people coming over my paling and coming and thief my corn? Not knowing there's a monkey that breaking those corn. Breaking those corn. Like human being. Breaking the biggest head of corn. And eating it. Going with it so you couldn't have seen no straw and nothing stripping on the ground. So that's why I believe people was going with the corn. The monkey, what was doing it? I get up one morning, early one morning. I hear the paling knock. And when I look, I see the monkey breaking the corn.
Mm.
Right? So monkey is a dangerous animal. I don't know how the Ministry of Agriculture will get rid of them. They will have to see about it. But it's not. I don't know if you want all you want to keep it as pets. Or anything so, but I wouldn't encourage nobody to keep a monkey as a pet.
Mm.
Have a nice day, Franca.
All right, thank you very much. Another story about monkeys. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Today I want to talk about three major topics plaguing the world right now. And a topic mainly in Barbados is sustainability. I heard me and Motley say that there's enough food reserves in the country or whatever, so people shouldn't panic. But at the same time, we should be able to sustain ourselves. So the Caribbean should come together and try to grow their own foods locally and export the foods between each other and stuff like that. So it will be much cost effective, and at the same time, if other major countries fall, we will go down with them. We will sustain ourselves separately from the countries.
Mm-hmm. Before you go on, if you don't mind, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
How old are you, son?
You sound like a very young person. So I'm just trying to figure out if you are a very young person.
Yeah, 16.
You're 16.
Yeah.
I see. All right. So you have to do CXC this year?
Sadly, yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I have to, yeah.
Okay. All right, go on. You said there were three major points. So one is sustainability. What's the second?
The other topic is the economy.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the economy on a halt right now because nobody really going out and buying anything or stuff like that. So, there's this, you know, right now the world moving online. You get what I'm saying? When I mean online, I mean like...
Mm-hmm. I get you.
People being on the internet, so they got this thing called cryptocurrencies right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a decentralized form of money. By decentralizing means... No government ain't going to control it. No central banks ain't going to control it. And the people will have full access to the money anytime they want. So that's another thing that, regardless of what happened, is going to happen in the world right now. But the previous topic is something that the Caribbean should do. I don't know if they're doing it already, but... That's something they should do. That's just a suggestion.
All right. And what is your third area?
What is now?
Let's make them back to you. What I'm trying to find from you is why is this the first time you've called the program?
Yeah, I was listening for the past time now, and to be honest, some people come and talk about some things that, I don't know, but I just figured she's kind of talk about something that many other people don't talk about.
I see. So you were motivated to call because you wanted to make just a contribution, or what was the real thing that pushed you to call today?
Yeah, in my head was before a lot of ideas, you know, so I just write them down something, or some things I just got. You know, I talk to people a lot. I talk a lot, but I don't talk foolishness like other people talk. But not just my opinion on how other people talk about things, but I just talk about things that really matter in the world and stuff like that. So,
what are you taking at CXC this year?
I don't really get into any CXCs yet, but it's chemistry, physics, electronics. Technical design, and the mandatory subjects like math and English.
Okay, all right. So, what sort of career path are you looking at?
Engineer, and CEO.
And CEO.
Yeah, I want a company.
Okay.
I wouldn't say want, but I'm gonna have a company.
You're gonna have a company. Very interesting. And how has it been for you during this curfew? I mean, how have you been coping? You live in a house with you have brothers and sisters.
Yeah, me and my brother, my sister, and my mom.
So how have you guys been coping?
We've been coping very well, fairly well.
Explain.
You know, keeping up with the regulations and the laws.
Sorry, I didn't hear that quite. Could you repeat that?
Keeping up with the regulations and the laws, you know.
Like, so, in other words, you don't go out unless it's your day to go out.
Yeah.
And on a day to day basis, what do you do? Are you on the computer and do you do e-learning?
Yeah, I play a little bit.
Play what?
I play a little bit games, but other than that, I just read some books. I hear so we're on a daily routine.
You are?
I'm trying to stick to.
Uh-huh. What was the purpose of writing down this daily routine? Like a journal?
Maintain self-control. You know, what we're trying to do is keeping things that I would need to do, priorities for the day.
I see. So what was your priority for the day? Calling brass tacks?
Nah, I always want to call it, but I never get the chance. Got everything to call. Somebody else came in, and then I lost confidence in trying to call, so I have to wait until I get my confidence, you know?
Okay.
Because there's a certain state of mind that I got to be in to do certain things, so
okay.
I didn't want to call and not be confident about what I have to say.
Well, you made some interesting points, which we'll develop on a little later. But I'd like to thank you for calling Brass Tacks for the first time. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing from a 16-year-old, and he has some ideas on how we can sustain our economies here in Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean, and he also has some ideas on the economy. So thank you, young man, and good luck to you. All right, go to the next call. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Try another one. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I am remarkable. I'm just observing with some analysis and watching on. Now, could I get your permission to salute the sanitation workers in my preamp? I can preamp it in just a little bit.
Yes, go right ahead. Your
permission?
Yes.
Rawl. Emanating from Rawl. So somebody passed the message on. Mr. Prescott, I applaud you, and I think it's a good gesture for the salute. The only little correction was you said fellow, the fellows and men, they're also ladies, you know?
Yes.
So the ladies don't feel left out. They're also involved and accounted for. I want to go on to this COVID, and I want to have a good discussion with you. But everybody knows my stance as regarding I've got a serious reservation in this reopening. And if, as I often say, there's no vaccine existing in the world, and a vaccine will take a time, and you've got to be tested and then look at the side effects and all that before it gets to you, and there's no cure, I am asking all the authorities to err on the side of caution in about this opening. I am hearing about commerce and opening up and business and people not working. I understand that. I understand that readily. But I am saying, I am reverting to a conversation Mr. David Ellis had some Saturday nights ago with a lady. She's a nurse from Long Island. And she virtually begged Mr. Ellis that she would try and don't let Barbados ever get to how it is here. They're sort of overwhelmed. And bodies being put in a container outside, refrigerated container outside anything. And she said she wanted to come home and she was advised not to come home. If you hear that call from that lady, it's not a plaything. We understand the world has been thrust in a precarious situation before even any announcement, and an abrupt way, bam, that's it. It has the world at its wit's end. I am very, very concerned with this opening up. I understand somebody was saying about construction and one or two places. My take has been initially, I said, I would open an electrical store, a plumbing store, in a certain way, because there are certain things that are done in every country daily. Maintenance is electrical and toilet bowl, sink, burst pipe, those sort of things. Necessary, very, very essential. Outside of that, I am holding till I get a better perspective from the experts in the world, World Health, and who have you. I don't know. I subscribe to this opening up.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's certain aspects that are pretty universal with the reopening of the economy in terms of COVID. One is expanded testing within the community, because you have to look at the community spread. Locally, we have expanded the testing, and we're continuing to expand that the level of testing that we're doing. As they say, we're ramping up the testing. But so that is ongoing. But the key point here is that it's not only protecting lives, it's also looking at livelihoods. Now, businesses are taking a beating.
The world over is happening.
Yeah, world over, but I'm just localizing it here.
Yeah.
You have right now, you know, for example, that the hotels are going to remain closed because there's nobody coming.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
That's 6,000 plus workers. Okay?
Yes,
so they're going to be off. That's pressure on the NIS. Every 2 weeks, the projection is that every 2 weeks, they'll be looking at paying out $20 million in unemployment benefits.
We're no different on that. I'll give my perspective on that when you finish your piece.
Their opinion and their facts. Those facts were given by Mr. Ian Goodenedger, the chairman of the NIS. Okay? The government is spending unbudgeted sums presently on increasing by money through the welfare and the different projects to help those most vulnerable. Okay. And the bill for the healthcare alone, I don't even imagine that. We've not been clued in into how much costs are involved in terms of the Harrison's Point, in terms of outfitting it, in terms of bringing in the Cubans and paying them, because they're being paid at the rate that the Barbadian nurse would be paid. So that's an additional 100 people, nurses and doctors. And if they're being paid at the same rates, that is money that's not budgeted for. These are real costs, okay? They're coming out of a treasury that basically has gone through lean times in the last several years and has now been trying to catch itself.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep paying out. The government cannot keep paying out this money without getting some revenue back in. It's not accidental, therefore, that you heard BRA extending the time period for income tax. It's not accidental. Mm-hmm. I expected that. We need to get businesses up and running, but we need to do it and balance it at the same time with continuing protecting the health of Barbadians. That's why I said earlier, and the second gentleman who spoke, second call, he was talking about, yes, we can get these things happening, but we need to put these other measures in place, which is, he agreed with me in terms of mandatory masks in public. We have to keep the physical distancing there, but we need to get the local businesses up and running. We need to have that money in circulation. We need to have people working, and it's also so from a financial perspective, it's important. Also, from a mental health perspective, it's extremely important. Because it is not easy being home, being not sure of what is happening. And at the same time, all this is happening, your finances are dwindling. It's not easy. It's a lot of psychological pressure. So people need, who can get out there and work, they need to be able to get out there and work.
My turn.
Yes, go right ahead.
I am on record as making this clarion call. Government and the NIS can be all things to all men. I understand the situation with not working and the psychological and all of that. I understand. I agree with whatever you've said. All I am trying to highlight with some passion is the hotels and a lot of businesses and things would have to help the NIS, though. The NIS can't hold the brunt of all of this. This is unprecedented. The NIS and the government can't hold the whole brunt of this at all. So I am saying that there are businesses that would have had, there are businesses that used to say at the end of the year they have made X amount of million profit, etc., and they've got big accounts. I'm not saying every business, but there are businesses that will have to chip in and help government. You can trust everything on your NS, and then what will happen? The NS cannot bear be the atlas of the world in this regard. I understand what you're saying. I regard you particularly. But I'm going to say it is not as easy as everybody saying, open up, and as they go to NIS, NIS. No. There's got to be another way around this, sir.
Sir, what I would say is this. I'm going to... The WhatsApp, I haven't read any WhatsApp because we're having some problems with the Wi-Fi here as well. So the WhatsApp just came back up. Well, came back up for the first thing for the morning. And some person here is saying, I am certain that the gentleman talking is receiving a pension and collecting his money. We got to get money. We got to get back to making money. That's what the person is making the comment. But what I will tell you, Aral, what I will say to you is this. You may hear that a company has made X amount of profit this year. It could have made a profit in the last few years. But that does not mean they don't have a tremendous amount of expenses. Right. And we a lot of us have this impression that companies are doing so well in Barbados that they can afford to help the people in the public and whatnot. And which is fair. It's one of those expectations that we have, not a problem. But you know, a lot of companies that you think are doing very, very well are not doing as well as you may think. Yes, they may have posted a profit, but they have a lot of expenses and a lot of, there needs a level of restructuring. There needs to be certain maintenance to their buildings and a whole set of other expenses that you don't necessarily pick up, that are not necessarily talked about. And that is why sometimes when you hear a company A or company B has been sold or has been taken over, you say, but what's going on here? Because you sometimes don't get the full facts. All you're interested in, all the average person is interested in, is that, oh, they made money, so they can pay more, so they can do more. While that is true on the surface, there's always a backstory to everything. And I'm telling you, based on some of the, when you look at some of the balance sheets and you read those balance sheets, you begin to question a number of things that are happening. The fact that the level of maintenance would have decreased, and you need to ask why, because they've tightened up in one area. So at the end of the day, they're showing a profit, so the shareholders are happy, but really and truly, they've tightened it on maintenance. And then you see that problem coming out when there are environmental problems in one of their buildings, or the union call up the staff because of some other environmental issue or something they're not doing, right? Because they're shorting in one way to look good in another. These are the sort of realities that are taking place in the business place on a day-to-day basis. I am not here defending businesses, so don't say that, all right? I'm not necessarily talking to you. I'm talking to not only you, I'm talking to the whole of Barbados. Yeah. I'm just giving you a perspective something that I'm aware of, uh-huh, that is happening. And there's some business people who may come on here, and when they begin to give you a tale of woe, you wouldn't believe that who it's coming from and what they're saying based on what you would have been reading about their making profits. But
I've got one for you that is going to help Barbados regarding. You're finished?
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, with Scott Pover. Mm-hmm. My friend, he has highlighted to me that Elton John just made a world tour on online. Mm-hmm. His last tour, he was to make it, but then he had to curtail it because of the COVID,
yeah,
and he's made it online. Millions of dollars gross. I am saying, my friend has asked me to put this out there, that they can have a crop over. You can have all the artists putting their music out there and have an online situation, judging whatever. At the end of the whole exercise, money is going to spill off to a whole set of persons. And I think it was a very, very good idea. And I said I will go with it. I will highlight it for him.
Okay.
You see?
All right, sir. Anyhow, thank you for your contribution. As I said just now, our WhatsApp is now back up and running, and all those who were sending WhatsApp, they've come through one time. So forgive me. I'm just going to take them from the top and come right down. Someone said just now, the 16-year-old caller into the program today was a breath of fresh air. I would have loved to hear more from him. I hope he calls again, maybe on Tuesday, where Peter could engage him more thoroughly. All right. Thank you for that, Dis. Yes, I would have wanted to talk to him a bit more, but I also recognize that I can't push him too much because he, as well, he's talking about his confidence and whatnot. This other person says, Sanka, please thank that 16-year-old who called. It was nice of you to give him the room to speak. Please publicly ask the other 16, 17, 18-year-olds to call. Hearing him mentioned he wanted to call before but lost confidence tells me many callers in that age group likely feel a loss in confidence. So please ask him to call and build their confidence as you allowed him to do. All right, great. And I'm just reading this as I pick them up. Okay, that one is dealing with fake news. The person says that. And this last one, I believe that call with the young man was not handled in the best way. I believe the moderator should have responded to that boy, was saying more instead of asking him about CXCs and his household. Some children are not entered for CXCs. The question, in my opinion, was irrelevant. All right, that's your opinion. And this last one, I am impressed by the upwind chap. I will be praying for him to continue on that part. He means impressed with the young man who called, and he's praying for him to continue on that part. We have a bright future ahead of him. Well done. He has a bright future ahead of him. Well done. So that's a sampling of some of the WhatsApp that just came flooding through just now. And there's just this one more. Good morning, Brass Tacks. I'm very proud of that young man that called because it took a tremendous amount of courage, and I sincerely wish him well with his CXCs and all his endeavors. Well, very well done, young man. All right, so young man who called, the Brass Tacks family, they're very proud of you. So perk up and call anytime.